Hey, it's Sean Fennessy, one of the hosts of the Prestige TV podcast. HBO's Barry is back for a fourth and final season, and that means I'll be back recapping the show with co-creator and star Bill Hader to dive deep on the themes, scenes, and major moments in the series. Bill will provide insight into how every episode was made and why it's ending. New Prestige TV Barry recaps will go live every Sunday night when the episode ends, so make sure you're subscribed to the Prestige TV podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu. This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
All right, Lisa, don't do crystal meth in the bathroom all night long.
That's my opinion!
He will never emotionally fulfill you.
Because I don't want to be a part of this.
Go to sleep! Go to sleep!
Close your legs to married men, trash box.
I'll tell you how I'm doing. Not well, bitch.
Who gonna check me, boo?
Welcome, guys, to Morally Corrupt, a show here on the Ringer Reality feed. I'm Rachel Lindsay. She's Callie Curry, and we are back. Callie, I don't know about you, but I woke up before my alarm went off. I was laying in bed and I was like, why am I so giddy? Why am I so up? Normally, I'm like rolling out of bed because we record this podcast very early in the morning on the West Coast. And so I'm like rolling out of my bed, taking my time. But I was super chipper and I was like, it's because we're back. We're back to our regularly scheduled program. Callie, how have you been? It's been a couple of weeks. I don't know. You've made a big announcement in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I have been great. I announced that I was pregnant, but I have actually had the baby. The baby is like a month and a half old. So I did not wake up chipper this morning. But I will say that once I remembered that we had this podcast, I was excited. Taking the 2 weeks off. Was it 2 weeks or 3 weeks? 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks. Mm-hmm.
I was just so excited to talk to you, Rachel, this morning, which is probably why we spoke 20 minutes before we started rolling this podcast.
I know. We had to catch up. Congratulations to you, Callie. And if you were probably really listening, really like intensely to our podcast, you might have heard a cry or two in the last month.
Might have heard a baby breastfeeding in the background. So if you were wondering what those noises were, that's what it was.
She's a woman who does it all. Literally, Callie didn't take, you guys don't understand. Callie had the baby on a Friday. And the next Friday, she was back at work.
I did take 7 days off with nothing. But I love podcasting. And with a newborn, like, you're feeding them or they're sleeping 99% of the time, which means you take in a lot of content because you're sitting on the couch feeding them. So it was like the perfect time to watch TV. And I was like, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. let's go.
We were shocked. But we're so happy that you're back. There's so much happening in the Bravo world. We're going to start off with the news of the week like we do. And the news of the week this week, it's like a roller coaster. We got highs and lows. So let's start with a high. Real Housewives of Miami, season 6, which I don't know why I thought there were more seasons than that, because they give us so much. It's moving back to Bravo, which, let's be honest, it's a shame. It's a shame that it was ever streaming. It's a shame. There are other franchises that could move to streaming, but Miami deserves to be on once a week on cable TV. You can stream the next day. So happy, and we'll be covering it.
Miami deserves prime time.
Miami deserves prime time. It absolutely does. in other news, We'd heard this for a while, that Luann and Sonia were going to be doing something. Well, now we know that they're going to do a spinoff called Welcome to Crappy Lake. It's premiering this summer, July, and it's going to follow Sonia and Luann as the Benton Town Council invites them to spruce up their small town. This town has a population of 7,000 people. It seems like it's giving Simple Life. I don't know if you guys remember The Simple Life with Nicole Richie and Paris Hilton, which was a classic in 2002 or whenever it was that we were watching that. But like, I'm sorry, Bravo. And I'm pretty sure you're on the same page from the look on your face, Callie. What the hell is this? I like Luann separately. I like Sonia separately. I like them together on New York. But who asked for this? We will not be covering it. I will not be watching this. I have absolutely no desire. I don't understand it. I don't know why they thought this was a good idea.
I don't think I will be watching it either. I never even watched The Simple Life, but I watched Nicole Richie's reality show on E, and she's like a stand-up comedian. Like, she's really fucking funny. And I think that Paris Hilton also has, like, you know, a talent that I don't know how you describe it, but Countess Luann and Sonia do not have either of those things.
So Sonia's funny.
She's funny, but not in the way, like, she can't, like, I wouldn't say she's like quick-witted. I would say she's funny because she's just like all over the place. Also, where's Benton? Like, this is not for me.
Like, how did you find this town? How does this concept make it through, like, pass the test to be able to say, this is what we want to produce? I mean, I thought they were going to be doing road tripping. I'd rather see them dating.
Dating would be fun.
They're going to spruce up a town. What does that look like? It's giving Schitt's Creek. And I really think that that is their concept. And I don't like it at all. Once again, as Callie pointed out, they're not funny.
Right. I was going to say Schitt's Creek had very talented writers in the writer's room writing a script. Who wants that? Like,
this concerns me. This concerns me about the future of Bravo. And I will point out, Schitt's Creek was fiction. Yeah. I don't want to watch this.
And scripted.
Okay, so, you know, you guys can let us know somebody will watch it. It won't be us. Mm-mm. Now, unless something groundbreaking happens, like on a Scandoval level, which it won't, we won't be tuning it. Okay, as Callie already pointed out, Roni will come back with the new cast, which, you know, in the last year, there's been quite a bit of drama surrounding that. That's going to be dropping July 16th. That we will be watching.
Yes, correct. We will be there.
Yes. In other news, this has been making the rounds. Kim Zolciak and Croy Bierman have filed for divorce after 11 years. I thought they'd been together longer. This news came like a day or two after the other news broke that they had major money issues, not as surprising. So apparently they owe $1.1 million to the IRS for unpaid taxes, interest, and penalties from the years 2013, 2017, and 2018. They owe Georgia $15,000 for unpaid taxes. We already knew about their mansion. entering foreclosure in February. We knew that. Were you surprised when you heard about the divorce?
Not really. Listen, I think like the top reasons for divorce, I think they're all like the stressors that are like moving, money problems, a new baby, whatever. A death in the family. Like, I think that's what it is. I'm missing one of them, but
infidelity.
Infidelity. So they're moving because their house got foreclosed. They have money issues. Like, it's not that surprising to me. I will say that in these days, 11 years of marriage, I don't necessarily think that's a failure.
Well, yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying. 11 years is a long time. We don't know how many of those 11 years were good years.
No. But these days, people, I mean, divorce is just everywhere. I would also say, especially for people that are in like the public eye. There we go. I was like, not the eye. Yeah, the public eye. So, yeah, I don't think 11, and especially from what we've seen of Kim on TV, 11 years, not a failure to me. Good for them. Good for Croy.
Good for Croy.
Yeah. The money problems, both of us can agree, not shocking.
Not shocking at all. And if you haven't seen already, Bethany Frankel had an epic rant about how Croy and Kim always seem to be living out of their means. And I think that this is outside of their means. I think this is a housewife's curse, because there is a pressure to keep up with the Joneses. There's a pressure to show yourself getting something new and big, to have a certain house, to drive a certain car, to wear certain labels. And Callie and I were looking up Croy's, because I really thought Croy did not play at all. I mean, I thought he had 3 years and the contracts were each year, you know, were less than a million. I didn't think he had that long in the NFL, but apparently he played for like 8 seasons. And 1 year he signed almost a $2 million contract with $500,000 guaranteed in a signing bonus. So
it says total cash he made while playing football is $14
million. I totally did not realize. Croy, Croy.
He made $4 million 1 year. This is shocking.
That's shocking. So maybe
good
Bethany's
for you,
rant.
Croy.
Yeah,
good
maybe
for you.
Bethany's rant was not accurate, because they were making money. Now,
well,
they made
money, but athletes, as we both know, it's a crazy world where you make great money, but it's for a short period of time. You retire in your 30s if you're lucky.
Yeah.
A lot of people retire in their 20s, which is insane. But if you're not managing your money right, it goes quickly when you have nothing else coming in.
Yeah. And let's hope that, I mean, they didn't manage their money right, because of what we're seeing. Last year he played was 2015. So we're 8 years out. I don't know if they have investments. I don't know what was going on. I mean, we know they had the show. So, you know, they were obviously making money for that. But it was 2017 and 18 that they weren't paying these taxes as well after he stopped playing. I don't know. One thing is for sure, they were living a very lavish life.
Very.
House, labels, parties, surgeries, everything. It's a lot. So, you know, I hate for the divorce, because they have 4 young kids. We know that there's 2 adult kids from Kim's previous relationships, but he adopted them because they have his last name.
Mm-hmm.
But then they have the 4 small kids. So, you know, like, I hope it works out. And I'm going to say something that might be a little controversial. I kind of want to see Kim back on Bravo. Not tardy
controversial.
I don't know. Maybe it's controversial to say Atlanta, but she could be on.
I want her on Atlanta.
Ultimate Girls Trip. I want to see her on both.
Both. Agreed.
I want to see her on both. Let's test the waters.
Listen, Atlanta
with Ultimate Girls Trip.
Well, I didn't watch the premiere, so you would know better than me. But from the past couple of seasons, Atlanta needs a Kim shot in there.
I'm for it.
She needs a paycheck. Let's smack her back into Real Housewives of Atlanta, and maybe I'll start watching again.
And maybe you will.
Let's slap NeNe back in there too.
Oh, I am all about NeNe coming. Let's bring the original crew back.
Wait,
we want a legacy.
Portia back in there.
We want a legacy for New York. Let's do a legacy Atlanta. You got a lot to work with there. Better than crappy Lake.
Legacy Atlanta, I feel like, would be expensive.
Well, NeNe would be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. Kim would probably be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could get the rest on the cheap.
On the cheap. Maybe. I mean, Portia doesn't really need money right now, so maybe she'd do it for less.
Just to be back, you know? It's like, let's just do a year and test the waters. And should you this happen...
By the way, Candy ain't going to be cheap.
Well, Candy's is not with the legacy, okay? She's with the others. I'm not putting her on legacy. She's over there. But man, Legacy Atlanta would be amazing.
I hope Bravo's listening.
Yes, we shall see what happens with Kim and Croy. And of course, we'll keep you updated. With sad news.
Really sad news.
Gertie from Real Housewives of Miami took to her Instagram to announce that she was diagnosed with breast cancer in March. We love Gertie. I can't imagine how hard this is for her, for her husband, for her kids, for her parents, everybody involved, her friends. We're wishing her, you know, strength and a speedy recovery. And I appreciate her even sharing it on Instagram, because that's tough. And I feel like I tend to be private when it comes to these type of matters, but I commend Gertie for doing it, because it seemed like she wanted to remind us that it is important to get checked out. If you read her post on social media, which we encourage you to go there, send her some love on social. She said that she found out she had breast cancer through a routine check, getting a mammogram. So if you're 40, I think they changed that number. I think it was 50. They moved it. It was higher than that.
They recently did. Like a few days ago, they announced that you should get checked over 40. And if you have like breast cancer that runs in your family, like honestly, like just get checked earlier.
Yeah, you should get checked earlier. So we're wishing Gertie the best, and we'll keep you guys updated on that as well. If you're wondering why we did not cover Vanderpump Rules, we know the trailer dropped for the reunion. It's spicy. It's giving us everything that we've been waiting for since the Scandoval news broke, but it was covered on Morally Corrupt that comes Thursday. So you can go check out the ladies' thoughts about the reunion trailer. We already did ours before we press play on this
podcast. The only thing I will say,
a record, I should say.
I put this in our group chat. At some point, James Kennedy has to win an award. At some point, it has to happen.
Poo-poo heads.
You're just a worm with a mustache. Like, who even comes? Like, he is what you want reality TV to be. He's the perfect character.
If you want to do a spinoff show, put Lala and James together. Because here's the thing, Lala is sober and is still giving it to us. So if anybody thought, oh, she's only like that because, you know, she's drinking or whatever, no. Lala is still giving. I would watch those two do anything.
Yeah.
Anything together.
I'd love for them to end up together.
Would you? I think it'd be too much. I think it would be too much. They would kill each other. It works in the friendship world. Maybe a little bit friends with benefits.
They seem to really care about each other. Like when Tom started going at Lala and James like stuck his head in there, I was like, that's not true. That's not true. I was just like, this is so cute. I love how good of friends they are.
How many times have you watched the trailer?
Oh God. At least 17. At least 17. Then I sent it to all my friends who are really into it. And then I called them to talk about it. I spent at least 3 hours on the phone yesterday talking about Vanderpump.
So good. I don't know where I was when you sent it.
I'm like, how do these people's lives make me so happy? Like, this season of Vanderpump and following all of this online, I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to Sheena's podcast, Lala's podcast. I listen to Howie Mandel's podcast. Like, Call Bravo or whatever, Andy's podcast or whatever that's on Sirius. I've been watching those clips on TikTok. I can't get a fucking enough.
I don't know what we're gonna do. I don't know what we're gonna do when it's over. Everybody else, I don't want this to have anybody else. So, no. Anyways, okay, we're gonna move on because you know we could go down a deep hole talking about Vanderpump Rules. But again, you can catch that on the Morally Corrupt show that comes on Thursdays with the ladies. All right, we're moving on to the recaps because we have a new show to cover. Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. We heard about this not too long ago. And so I think we were both eager to see what this could be because we know that Black people love to go to Martha's Vineyard. This is a thing. There's a long history there. There actually was a fictional show. I can't think of the name of it. Yaya from America's Next Top Model starred in it. And it was about a Black families in Martha's Vineyard. This is actually a thing. So
yeah, it's a thing.
I was very eager to see this. But I was disappointed by the first episode. I wasn't
episode
moved.
One did not give.
I wasn't moved. It seemed staged. And I think what got me was the friend who's not, did not work with them at the Playboy Bunny Club or whatever. She's the friend, she's a friend of Jasmine's from college. Mariah.
Mm-hmm.
When Mariah was like in her confessional and she was like, girl, and she's referring to Jasmine, and she's like, you have not been coming down here every summer. This is only your second summer. And I'm like, don't tell us that. Don't say that. Because Jasmine alluded to that they come all the time.
Well, yeah, she said it in front of everyone. She was like, you know, we do this every year. And Mariah was like, what? But I was also like, wait, you do this every year? You just told us you were homeless. Not too long
see
ago.
Say it. See what,
so I'm like, what do you mean? I'm fine with them telling their backstories. I'm even fine with them saying that they haven't been. Like, because maybe it's like this. Because by the way, Martha's Vineyard is not cheap. It is definitely not like, it is for, it is, okay. The stereotype of Black people that go to Martha's Vineyard is the uppity Black people, the rich Black people.
Yes.
It is not everyday Black people going to Martha's Vineyard. So I'm fine with them saying, we have not been here. This is our first time. And it being like an exciting thing. I think that's very relatable, especially for this age group of like, we've made enough money and now we get to come. And like, it's so important because of this history and blah, 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 blah. Fine with that. But Jasmine acting like it's a thing that she does with her family every year. And then 10 minutes later, telling us that she lived in her car with Mariah and ate ramen noodles. I'm like, wait, what? You came to Martha's Vineyard every year, but also were homeless? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Just like, be for real. But that wasn't what got me. The most riveting piece of anything that happened on this episode was the fucking dog. And I was like, oh no. Like, you guys have to bring more than this. I will say, I would be pissed if someone brought their dog and didn't tell me. Give me a call and say, hey, I need bring my emotional support animal. Then I can at least be like, okay, I told her she could bring it. Or I gave her a heads up, like, hey, there's too many people in the house, blah, 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 whatever. But to bring your dog on a friend's trip and not say anything and then get pissed when someone says, like, you should have told me. No. You and Lassie gotta go. Bye.
I agree. I actually enjoyed that drama. That was actually really good.
It was the best part.
It was. I will also say on a positive note that I like the dynamic in the sense of how they're connected. Because if you watch Summer House, the original one in the Hamptons, there were like three of them that came together because they would come every year. It was Kyle and the Workus Circus or whatever those twins were. And then were like, it seemed to be a little bit of randomness. I like that it's like, this is a frat brother. I worked with these girls for years in New York.
Like they're not all connected, but they each person has a connection somewhere. It's like a little like web. Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy that. I did.
What else do you
like,
enjoy?
Well, I didn't like that immediately. I didn't like that. And this is what I mean by, I hope maybe they're just trying too hard. It's new. It's the first episode. But Jasmine was really trying to force conversation. We get it. You're a screenwriter. You have a pilot for a show. You know how to produce. You know how to direct. But I don't need you to be producing this show. And I did appreciate her friend Jordan saying, I would just like to have a normal conversation and you stop prompting questions for us. Thank you, Jordan is all of us. That, and if we're going to keep getting that from Jasmine, I'm going to get turned off. Just let
it
happen. Let it happen.
I'm turned off by Jasmine, but I agree with you. I think she's trying, especially because she's the friend that supposedly invited everybody. Like this is supposed to be her thing. She's going above and beyond to like create the show. And it's like, just be the show. That's what you're supposed to be. Like, don't sit down and be like, hey, so who were you attracted to when you first walked in? I'm like, what? Also, because she's married, I feel like she feels like, I'm out of this, but I'm going to get all of them to do stuff.
Yeah.
It's just really strange.
And that's why Bria.
I also thought, Bria. Which one's Bria?
The, with the dog. That's why she's like, I don't recognize this Jasmine. Again, alluding to Jasmine is not being herself.
Mm-hmm. Which Mariah said that. Bria said that Jordan's annoyed. So I'm hoping it's the first episode. She's trying too hard and maybe she'll relax as, you know, time goes on. I also think that if you're going to do something like, you know, Summer House, because that's essentially what it is, at least half the people got to be single.
Yeah.
There's one girl that's single, right? And she's celibate. That's not what I'm trying to see.
But there's the one that's coming who seems to be wild.
Firecracker.
Hurry
Firecracker
up and get on there. The way. Hurry up and get there.
I cannot wait for that. That's why I think it will get better. Were you not a little confused when Jordan was talking to the boys, like throwing football, and she told them that she's celibate, and she's like, you know, it's just so hard because like when I, you know, meet people or go on dates with people, I'm like, are you a fan? I was like, excuse me, are you famous? You did Playboy. I don't even know where you get Playboy. I don't think I've ever even like opened a Playboy. Maybe 30 years ago.
Let me look up Jordan's. I wasn't confused, but I'm laughing now. I think it just went through one ear and out the other.
She was basically telling them like, you know, I just never know people's intentions because, you know, I always think like, are you a fan? I want to be like, baby girl, nobody even knows that you were the third black playmate or whatever she said. I don't even know what it is.
She said she was the fourth black playmate of the year, maybe, and the last one, because we know that it's no longer in existence.
It's no longer here. So you were the very end when it was going downhill. You won. Congrats.
I mean, I would imagine there's a strong fan base for Playboy. So, you know,
what age range do you think that
older,
fan base is?
50 plus.
Yeah. I don't think that the 28-year-old you're going on a date with is a fucking fan.
Yeah, not a fan. They might be interested in you because you're a beautiful woman. I'm looking at her social media. She's got 60,000.
Rachel.
60,000. But I think she's also basing on that because what played into that for her is that Nick, one of Silas's friends, you know, he's not an alpha. I think he was a kappa. Nick came in and apparently he's DM'd her before. But that's probably because he's friends with Silas and Silas is married to Jasmine and Jasmine's always with Jordan. Like, he probably just saw them all in a picture together and DM'd her, not because he had been following her Playboy journey.
Also, I don't know, maybe because they're going to be on a show together and stay in a house together.
She didn't specify when he did it. How did you feel about Preston, the attorney, Silas's frat brother? He's gay. How did you feel about him saying with the Black Excellence comment?
Oh, God, I can't hear Black Excellence one more time.
So you're like, Preston. Well, Preston said he doesn't believe. He's like, I hate when people say Black Excellence because he was like, my mom. But here was his definition. I get what you're saying about overuse. Just like same thing about Black Girl Magic got to a point to me that was overused. But he said, I don't like when people say Black Excellence because they make Black Excellence only one way. My mother, you know, worked multiple jobs. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but was single, worked multiple jobs and, you know, provided for me and my brother. And I watched what she did. And that's Black Excellence to me. And I'm kind of like, well, Black Excellence also isn't a monolith. It's your definition, to me, your definition of what you think a Black person's doing that's excellent. So I was kind of like, I agree with him. That's Black excellence as well.
No, I listen, what his mom did, I think is excellent. But when people use the term Black excellence, that's not what they're talking about. And that's why I agree with him. Don't fucking use that, because I feel like it's leaving out a ton of people. Like, to me, when people are sitting at a table, they did this on, remember that reality show that Issa Rae did on HBO?
Yes, the something LA, life. The Sweet Life.
The Sweet Life, yeah. They would be at a table and be like, Black excellence and da-da-da-da. They're talking about, like, look at us, like, so successful and have money and blah, 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 blah. That's what people, when you say Black excellence, that is what people think of. I agree.
Well, I
with
think
you.
If you have to say it about yourself, that's a problem as well.
It's a problem, 100%. I just don't think, like, you're, to Preston's point, you're excluding a ton of people that I would consider Black excellence, but that's not what the people are thinking when you say it. And so I'm like, what Preston's mom did is more excellent than, you know, sitting at a table in a mansion that you didn't pay for and be like, look at us, Black excellence.
Look at us. I guess I have a broad view of it. So for me, I'm like, well, I would include it exactly what your mom did as Black excellence. That's powerful. Yeah. But I get, like, in a general sense, most people don't. I understand that. I get it.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, especially on TV, if you hear that phrase, usually what they're talking about isn't a mom doing everything under the sun for their kids. They're talking about, like, someone who has succeeded. Beyonce, Black excellence. Jay-Z, Black excellence. It's like, yeah, they are excellent, but, like, I feel like that's, like, you're excluding
other excellence. That totally makes sense.
Most of the time, it's used, people are talking about themselves in a group. So that's the other issue for me.
No, for sure. It's for sure. Last thing, the way it ended with Silas, which we know Jasmine and Silas are the ones that brought this group together. Silas basically says he's worried about his new wife, Jasmine, hanging out with Jordan because she's the top, well, Alex jokes that she's the toxic party friend, which Silas pretty much agrees, because he says every time when he was dating Jasmine or even engaged, that when she was out really late, it was always Jordan that she was with. And this is not a good look for Silas.
No.
I mean, immediately, it's, and I felt, I get it. Maybe she did it behind closed doors. You don't really want to call out your husband in front of a group. That makes sense.
It did not seem like she disagreed.
I don't think she could say anything in that moment. Like, I probably would call my husband out in front of a group.
I absolutely would. You're going to talk shit about my best friend in the group? Then I'm going to have to tell you, you need to shut the fuck up in front of the group.
I probably would. I'm trying to be nice.
Like, you're calling one of my best friends the toxic friend. Also, on top of that, like, I think especially you and I can agree with, like, we're at the same stage in life. Like, I would never fucking call one of my single friends the toxic friend. Like,
I know.
They're already, like, at our age anyways, or at least for me, like, my friends, they want to be in relationships. They just haven't found the right person. And in my opinion, most of them have really strong careers, which seems to be a hard thing to find a guy when you have a really good career. And so, like, for him to be like, oh, she's a toxic friend, I'd be like, what? No, she's not married. She doesn't have kids. What do you want her to do? You want her to stay home all night by herself? Like, get out of here. She can go out. She's single. Why can't she go out? What's wrong with going out? And by the way, you married me, right? I came home every night when I was with her. It's not like we were staying over some guy's house. So what? Who cares that I was out with her? She got me home.
It's going to be a bigger issue. And they allude to it in the previews. But here's my last question. On Summer House Hamptons, we see them leave every weekend. I'm assuming they're not doing that for Martha's Vineyard.
I'm assuming that too. That's not really how it works.
Because it's so difficult to get there. And yeah, you just stay there.
Yeah, the Hamptons, it's a thing to go to the Hamptons every weekend if you live in New York. Mm-hmm. Martha's Vineyard, you like go for the summer.
Right.
So I assume they're going to be there every day. So I agree with you. I think it is going to be an issue. I also think that, like, if you married me going out with my friends, I should still be able to go out if I'm married. Do you trust me?
Do it all the time.
Yeah. What? You married this version of me. So you think I'm supposed to be a completely different version of myself now that I'm married? Like, sure, I don't need to go out 5 nights a week like I did before.
Yeah.
But if I want to go out 2 nights a week, I'm going to go out 2 nights a week.
And you should trust me, and you should know that my friends have my best interests. Like,
right. And I'm not...
On one hand, he would be like, Jordan's... I love that friendship. Jordan's always been a really good friend to her. Remember he was saying all that? He was like, Jordan's really... I love the friendship between the two of them. This is what I mean about it feeling staged. There was no reason for him to say that at the table. It like came out of left field.
Jasmine
and Silas are doing too much. It's giving work is circus, which I did not like them on the first two seasons of the original Summer House.
I don't know if he is in on it. He seems like he's not comfortable in front of cameras. He seems very stiff.
That's true.
Very stiff. So I could see him being like, I just want to get this out here because I don't want no wilding happen this summer.
Or a producer told him to say it and he just blurted
something,
it out.
But I don't think that he's like, Jasmine is fully like, hey guys, let's go around and do something crazy. Like, it's just like way too much of her producing it all. But
I'm also nervous for Amir. I'm just nervous for Amir. I got dip. He calls dibs on Jordan super quick. He's just like, doesn't have the charm or the finesse, it seems like. But then he his backstory and he hasn't really been around Black people in this way. So I'm just a little nervous for Amir of what this summer's going to be for him.
I like his honesty. Him calling dibs on her and the other guys just being like, we're both going to try too. I was just like, ugh. But I also liked when Jordan said she was celibate, he was like, celibate? He's like, nah,
I can't
bro.
Do that.
Yeah, he was like, nah. The other guy was like, that's so beautiful. And like her commitment and blah, 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 blah. And then it like cuts to a man. He was like, hell no.
That's funny.
I am excited for a wild girl to come on in.
I am too. There's another guy coming in who I guess was the roommate of Jasmine. I worked with him before.
That's the one you said you knew.
He's an actor. I don't know if he still lives out here or not, but I worked on something with him before. So he's coming too. So we know we're going to get a couple more friends coming in. So it should be interesting, should be exciting. We know that Bria's German boyfriend's coming in at one point too. So more to come. We'll be covering it here on Morally Corrupt. All right, moving on to Jersey. Not a bad episode.
But it was a filler
episode. I think what annoyed me the most is that I thought we were going to get more and I was upset at how it ended because I was like, oh, you really took us all the way to the edge and didn't give us. I was shocked because even when I was recording it, it said an hour and a half. And I know it does that sometimes because it does Watch What Happens Live. But I just figured, oh no, they've been, all the previews were showing what happened at that party. So I thought we were getting that in this episode. So I was a little annoyed by that. I was also annoyed at how it started off. So from beginning to end, I guess I was annoyed. I could have done without seeing Jen Fessler's mom and aunt. I'm sorry. I don't know if that sounds rude, but didn't need to see it. Twins aren't, it's not like it's shocking to see twins. Great. They're 80 years old. They seem to be in good health. That's beautiful. They dress alike. But Jen's not even a main cast member. Why are we meeting Jen's mom and aunt? There was nothing amazing about seeing identical twins. And we spent a good amount of time with them and Margaret's mom. I just could have done without it.
Yeah, I think we could have cut that out and gotten 15 minutes into the next episode.
Thank you.
I did not need to see it. And by the way, Jen Fessler, I like her a lot on this show. I want her to stay. I don't need to see her twin mom and aunt and Margaret's mom. I didn't need that scene.
Yeah.
Also, in general, Margaret hasn't been my favorite this year. So I was really like, okay.
Margaret has been on the defense most of this year. And the fact that a rumor that allegedly came from her seems to be the center of the drama this season, I'm shocked that we haven't received more from Margaret.
Yeah.
She's kind of been background. And then, you know, if somebody says something that involves her, she jumps in. But she doesn't have a storyline, really. She does, but we're not tapping into it. We're not, like, we need Laura.
Yeah, she doesn't really have a storyline. She's just reacting to what other people are doing. I know,
well,
it
her storyline is that she told it. She's the one who told Laura. Yeah. But we haven't got, I can't believe this rumor has, we're on 14 episodes. I can't believe in episode 14, Melissa still doesn't know that this rumor's out there. We've been talking about it since episode one. And now we're not going to get it to the finale. That's annoying to me. That's annoying. Melissa should have known, but we could have spit episode after episode because it involves more than Melissa and Teresa and Jen. Too many people know about the rumor. It came from Margaret, allegedly. It involves everybody except for Jen Fessler, Rachel, because Danielle knows about it at this point.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know. That scene was boring.
Boring. A scene I did like, I liked the sit down with Dolores and Frank's family.
Oh, I loved it.
I really love Dolores and Polly. And I'm so glad that Frank and Polly could bury the hatchet. I love that the kids were there. I love that we got more insight that their kids have met Polly's kids. And they really seem to be this beautiful family. Even the dumb girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. It was great. All of it was good. They seem really happy. They seem like they all love each other. I am hopeful that this reunion, if Polly and Frank are on it, that they're like on good terms. I did see on TikTok, you know how they do those like post episode interviews with all the Jersey Housewives? Mm-hmm. They did it with Beverly Hills too. For some reason, they don't do it with every season, but they do it with Beverly Hills. They do it with Jersey. I saw Margaret in an interview saying that, as far as I know, Polly's still married.
Margaret said that?
Mm-hmm.
See? Arsenal.
Yeah, by the way, she can't just keep doing this and then be like, what Arsenal? Like, bro, you're the one that has everyone's fucking secrets every year.
Mm. Rachel Fuda, it's very heartfelt and it's beautiful that she's trying to adopt her stepson, but boring. But something that's not boring. Danielle was on Watch What Happens Live and she said, it was like a Margaret versus Rachel, like who has better style, who is a better friend, who's more loyal, all these questions, right? So Danielle was doing this or that with Margaret and Rachel Fuda. And it said something like, the question was, who have you heard more rumors about? And she goes, that's a toss-up. And she said it was a tie, which I'm like, well, spill the tea.
Yeah,
because
we
obviously know that that's not shocking for Margaret.
No.
But what's going down with Rachel? What are we hearing? So I'm like, ooh. And it didn't seem messy. And she alluded to, there was a question of like, whose relationship has a future? Or like, who do you see growing your relationship with or something like that? And she didn't want to answer. She goes, now, before the reunion or after the reunion? And then Andy goes, don't answer that. I want people to watch the reunion. So either she makes up with Rachel or Margaret at the reunion. Something comes out. So I'm curious to see good tease for the reunion. But I'm like, cool off Rachel.
She's not my favorite. I don't know if it's just being like emotional or not, but I liked the scene and I liked having the son in the scene. Like, he absolutely loves her and wants her to be his mom. And I just liked seeing that side of it because like, if we didn't see that side of it, you could have just thought like, oh, she's doing this to like look good or this is all about her. But the way that she spoke to the son, who I think is like 16.
It's like 15 or 16.
15,
yeah.
16, yeah. And was just like, I don't know. I just loved how she handled all of it. And you could see how much he was like, I've wanted this for a while. Like, this isn't even like, I want it. Like, he's like, I've wanted it. And I was just like, it's really sweet that she, and then even her talking about her miscarriage and all that. I really liked that whole scene. It was a lot. It was a lot of time. I don't know if we needed 10 minutes of it, but I wasn't bored. I was bored with the twins.
The twins.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. I was bored because I think, you know what it was? Maybe I shouldn't say bored. I was a little uncomfortable. We had already seen them talk about the adoption, and mm-hmm. I love what she's doing. And I've never questioned it being for her. It's so sincere. And I just love that, you know, at 23, she came in and really stepped in and just has so much love for him. And I kept thinking too, for her husband, John, I'm sure he's just over the moon.
100%.
That, you know, this woman loves his son so deeply. But I guess I get uncomfortable when the kid gets there. It's all I kept imagining was there's these cameras. 2 to 3 cameras watching it. And he seemed sincere. He obviously loves Rachel, but he also seems a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I totally hear what you're saying. I don't know if he, like, from watching it, his uncomfortableness, I don't even know if that's a word, but his uncomfort, there you go. His uncomfort. Mm-hmm. felt like it was more so like, this is like a really touchy subject. And he even perked up when he was like, she could block that even though you have full custody. Like, you could see he got a little worried about it. So I don't think he cares much about, I'm not saying he doesn't care about his mom, but I don't think he cares about talking about his mom. I think the whole thing is just like, that conversation is an uncomfortable conversation.
Okay.
I thought he seemed super like, appreciative and happy that she wants to adopt him. Like, I thought it made him feel good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus, can't talk.
It was sweet. Now, what wasn't sweet, and I got to tell you something else is really starting to make me uncomfortable, and I really don't want to hear about it. We talk a lot about how Joe and Melissa have nothing else to talk about but Teresa and Louie. As I was watching Teresa and Louie have this conversation in their house about Joe and Melissa, I think what's frustrating to me is I am not understanding anymore. It's not making sense. I don't understand why Louie is exploding all of a sudden. I don't understand how we literally watched you a few episodes sitting down with Melissa trying to make amends. It couldn't be that they just aren't coming to the rehearsal dinner. There are so many holes and gaps in Teresa and Louie's story and Melissa and Joe's, that it's become so complicated and so dirty that I don't want to hear about it anymore. I don't want to talk about it anymore. And I don't want to watch it anymore. I let's let it come to a head with the rumor, because that's something different. But then enough. I am sick of it. We have been doing this for what, 10 years? 10 years. Yeah.
There's a podcast that is like, I think it's called I'm Sick of It or something. And it's really funny. I'll have to send it to you, but I'm also sick of it. I was watching this like, wait, what did we miss? Louie is losing his shit this episode. We had to have missed something. The text messages, I agree with Teresa and Louie. The text messages, because they've also been released online, from what we can read, it does not seem like I would be pissed off at Joe and Melissa based off the text messages. I get it. But I'm like, wait, him, when he was like, I'd rather talk to a rat or something. I can't remember.
A rat in the street.
A rat in the street, which also I'm like, is that a saying? I don't think so.
No, he also said I wouldn't give him a cup of water. I was like, calm down. It was just weird.
It was so weird. And I feel like we missed something. And even based off the text messages, like Joe and Melissa being strangely upset, it seemed like via text message. I'm like, what did we miss? Because Louie is on fire, and him on fire is not scary, but it's very crazy to watch. He seems unhinged. Yes. When he is not happy, he's unhinged. Like, there's no like middle ground with Louie. It's that he's like either super, super positive and happy and like, I don't know, like I feel like he's like a woosah person. Like, calm down. You don't want to
allegedly.
Blah, 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 blah.
Allegedly. Yeah.
No. I'm saying you either get that or you get crackhead Louie.
This is Louie. This is Louie, I'm convinced. I mean,
I think both are him. I think he's like, it's one or the other. But I don't know. Yeah.
I think you're saying that to it.
Hmm? I think you're saying that he is both, but the real Louie is unhinged Louie.
I think
that's
so.
That's what you think. Yeah.
I think so. There's a burning fire within him. And that's what he looks like when he becomes unhinged. It's tough to watch. He's not even red. It's like a rusty red that he becomes.
I mean, reddish, his skin changes pink. Colors.
He becomes veiny and tight.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like a pimple ready to pop. There's just, it's tough to watch. Even Teresa, I feel like, is like, whoa.
No, she's like, relax. She's like, relax, babe. Relax, babe. Relax, babe.
It's just, and because I'm too logical for this, because I can't understand what really is the issue. It's, again, we've gone too deep. We've gone too far that there's just too much missing. So I don't want to hear from Teresa and Joe, and I don't want to hear from Louie. Enough with all of it. Let's just cut it. Which it will be after the wedding. And I'm very curious to see how they move to the next season because they both can't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So unless there is a totally new storyline, God forbid, I wouldn't want to see this, but like there's Joe and Melissa separate or something, or, you know, it would have to be completely new drama, but it can't be this drama.
I can't see
it anymore. I am exhausted. It's not interesting. It's just difficult at this point. I am done. I'm not done with Danielle telling Melissa the rumor and Melissa.
Oh, no.
That's new drama. That's new.
I'm not done with anything if Danielle's involved.
That's what I'm down for. I'm like, it's not the fight. It's not that. Let's bring it back. Where's Kim D? Bring back Kim D.
You want to
stir up the pot. You want to be, I didn't say Danielle. I said Kim D. Going back and watching episodes with Kim D, it's wild.
It's nuts. Apparently Andy Cohen had some sort of like appearance or something in Jersey this past weekend, and Kim D showed up and was in line and was taking pictures with people. Like, she stood in line to meet Andy.
Why do you know this, Callie?
TikTok, my algorithm. My algorithm is pushing me this type of content.
I'm going to start calling you CMZ because you are so quick with the information. I get my Bravo updates from you. Thank God. But CMZ, let's start a segment on this podcast because it doesn't even fit in news. You always come with some additional news of the week. So I am asking for a CMZ segment where Callie tells all that she has gathered from TikTok or Instagram or Twitter, whatever it may be. Can't wait. New segment alert.
Okay, I'm down for that.
That's it for Jersey. The next episode's going to be a doozy. I hope it's an hour and a half. It all goes down at Dolores and Pauly's Irish party.
It looks
like Melissa and Teresa go at it. It looks like Joe and Louie go at it. Danielle and Margaret go at it. This is a moment. And if this is what we've all been waiting for, I guess I'm not upset.
No, I'm ready for it. And then after that, we have the reunion. Like, it's just, we have... Between Vanderpump, even though we don't talk about that, but we might have to after the finale next week. Between Vanderpump and Real Housewives in New Jersey, the next 3 weeks will be 4 weeks, hopefully. Actually, hopefully 7 weeks. I want a 6-part reunion for Vanderpump. But hopefully the next couple of weeks we have some great content between the Thursday Morally Corrupt and the Friday Morally Corrupt shows to cover.
Absolutely.
Adios.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea.
Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app. Just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Jedi are being murdered.
On June 4th, Star Wars returns, only on Disney Plus.
I didn't do it. Believe me.
She was my student. Let me be the one to bring her in.
Now she is a student of the dark side. An acolyte.
Star Wars, The Acolyte. 2-episode premiere June 4th, only on Disney+.
All right, and coming in for a new season of Real Housewives of Atlanta, Chelsea Stark Jones is back with us to talk about Atlanta. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi. I feel like I have to do my pageant wave. How's it going, Rachel?
I love it. I love it. I'm good. Am I excited to talk about Atlanta? Yes, but I'm scared. Can I tell you why?
I think we're the same reason because it was a great premiere and I just feel like nothing else is going to come out of it this season.
And that's, we are on the same page. Let's get into it. We normally for Atlanta, we hear rumors of what happened. They're more than any other show, they seem to be in the blogs. They are in bed with the bloggers. They love Jasmine Brand too, by the way. They're always doing interviews and everything. We haven't seen that this season. The one thing we kept seeing over and over again was Candy saying, I will headbutt. Maybe she says that, bitch. I'm not sure. But she's talking, I will headbutt. And so it's like, oh, Candy. Imagine my surprise when we saw that in the first episode. Yeah. Chelsea.
Yeah, it was disappointing. Concerned. I was like, we're going to have an activated Candy all season long. And I'm waiting for this point for her to want to headbutt this bitch. And for it to happen 35 minutes into the episode, I was like, okay, this is the peak of the season. So now my bar is back. It's low again.
It's low. And the other drama that we knew is that we knew Sheree had a new man and we knew that the women were suspicious of him, that he was allegedly dating other women, maybe someone in Atlanta. And that too came out in this episode. I mean, we do know that we are leading up to Drew and Ralph's divorce, separation. But that was after the cameras went down, as Candy has already revealed. So they had to come back for that. So what happens in between all of that? I don't know. And
yeah. And to have another season of Drew and Ralph not being a good couple, like similar to what's going on in Jersey, it's old drama. And mm-hmm. I want new drama. Like, where's the new drama? I did enjoy the fighting. I did enjoy Marlo being like a nosy one, kind of peeking over her shoulder. But outside of that, and I'm hoping there's more stuff with Martell, because I just Googled him before we recorded. I jumped on here and he is a messy, messy man. So I am hoping more comes out about Mr. Martell. And as far as I know, they're still together. So
Sheree knows how to pick them. If one thing we can depend on with Sheree, she gonna pick a busted, problematic man. Like one, the other, or both. I also have to say, I was really disappointed because I was supposed to be at this birthday party.
I knew it. I was watching. I was like, I wonder if this is the party that Rachel was gonna go to. What happened?
I went to my friend's bachelorette party.
Oh, Rach.
And I have to go, I'm a loyal friend, but man, had I known this was going to be the season opener, because I'm friends with Sonya and Ross. So I was like, man, I'm so disappointed I'm not at this party. I need to text Sonya that. Should have come to the party. Should have come to the party. Ugh.
It was good. And kudos to Sonya for taking her season one L and turning it into a win with upgrading that party, because...
But $100,000?
Yeah, I know. I was a little bit shook. But, you know, you only turned 40 once, I guess.
I was like not even close to spending that on my wedding. Like, not even close. That's just a lot of money. Again, this goes back to the Croy. And I'm not saying this is Sonya and Ross. Like, Ross was a first round draft pick. Sonya's an Olympian, like, they're good. But Croy and Kim, it's like this pressure to keep up with the Joneses. Sonya was perfectly fine throwing that party the first year. Was it for Drew? I can't remember. Throwing that birthday party, she was totally fine with it. And in real life, she'd be fine with it. But because of the pressures of the show and the women and social media, she threw a six-figure party. Which was great, but this is what, so when people ask me, Rachel, will you join the Housewives? This is a prime example of I will never.
Yeah.
I'm not about to go like spending all my money to impress y'all. I don't know y'all.
I mean, I thought a $40,000 budget would have been nice, $1,000 per year of his life. Like that was fair.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, that's she exceeded it. And it looked like a fun party.
I hope she was lying.
A great premiere party. I mean, she did, it seems like, have some, you know, hookups. The cousin was a planner.
Oh, Yolanda. Yeah.
So maybe that, you know, helped with cutting corners, but I don't know, it was a lot.
It was a lot. Let me tell you what else was a lot. So I think this, I don't remember how the episode starts off. I think it does start off with Sheree, which I will say this, and you're going to get sick of me saying this all season. I will never understand. I know you're not supposed to count people's money, but I will never understand how Sheree lives in that house and where her money is coming from. It's not just the land. It's not just the house. It's the way that house is furnished, the detail inside. It's just for her. It's insane.
Yes, I'm with you on that. Because her ex-husband was a former football player as well?
But she said he wasn't giving her child support. Bob Whitfield.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know either.
There was that hole in the ground for a year. I mean, it took her 14 years to come back with a clothing line and a house. I don't know. A lot can happen in 14 years, but man.
That's something they should come at her for. Let's figure
that
out.
I think Candy did.
She tried, but they need to try a little harder, because I need answers.
Yeah. Somebody starts telling me, they were like, well, you know, Sheree's a trainer. And?
Like a personal trainer?
Is she making millions off of being a trainer? Sheree looks great, but that is not how she got that house.
Can we see her train somebody? Like, I didn't know that.
And that's a segue into what my beef was with Sheree at the beginning of this episode.
Uh-huh.
Sheree is working out. It is my biggest pet peeve to see people working out with a full beat, because we know you're not. We know you're not. Or with their hair down their back. We know you're not working out. So then she has Martell come over, and he's coming from some photo shoot. And she's like, go change. We're going to work out. And she's like, oh, I already started working out, but you have a full beat. You have not. Then he changes, not into workout clothes, but they're supposed to be working out. She's like, yeah, we're going to work out. And then they pour themselves a glass of wine. So I'm like, what's happening here? Then the chef comes and they eat a meal. What? What was this whole scene? It bothered me so much.
Well, I wonder if the working out that she was alluding to had to do with the bedroom and not necessarily the gym. But I agree. The full face of makeup, the hair, all of that, the light. Like when she was with Sonya later on in the episode, they were kind of working out.
Sonya was working out.
Yeah. But I'm with you. I can't do it. It's not relatable. I want to see your headscarf. I want to see you put the edges down. I want to see no makeup. Like, We're supposed to be represent it the right way.
Come on. Yeah. Like, just if you want to wear workout clothes and a full beat, just say, oh, I'm just comfortable lounging around the house. Not that you had a full workout. Speaking of Sonia and Sheree working out, they were working out and the new friend comes.
Mm-hmm.
When will we learn to stop trying so hard when we're the new kid on the block?
I don't think they will learn, Rachel.
You know, I will say, and I'm not just saying this because she's a friend, I didn't think Sonia tried too hard when she came on.
No, she was herself.
But it's always the friend of.
Well, I think it's the friend ofs because they're trying to be the peach holder. So they're trying a little extra hard so that they could get the full time type thing. Because I wonder if that's what producers tell them. Like, we're just going to try it out, see how things are. And then they're like, okay, let me like lay it thick so I get that call back so that I get to be a peach holder or whatever. Yeah, how does Sheree invite her over? Like, I'm going to be working out with my friend Sonia, show up with full thigh-high boots and short shorts and a kimono. Like, what was that conversation like? And I love the protein shakes and champagne. That goes together real well.
Yeah, Courtney came in to, like, I heard Candy's been talking about me. Girl, Candy probably said, I hear we have a new girl named Courtney, and who wouldn't look up this girl that's supposed to be new coming on a show that I've been on for double digit seasons at this point? I'm sure that happened, but like, Courtney, be real, not delusional at this point. Candy is not concerned about you. And the fact that all this went down the first episode, it's like, I don't want to be corny anymore. It's too much too soon.
I don't either. It was a lot. And her, especially when it was, because I felt like her story changed, or maybe I just understood it differently once it got to the party. But who cares if Candy asked about you or said that you guys weren't really friends or whatever? And also, Candy doesn't have time to be digging up information about you. Like, that's just not, I don't even think that's ever been Candy's MO. She's not someone looking around for information about anybody. So why is she going to look around for you? I was so confused by this like nothing burger of drama. Yes. And it did feel like it was more so maybe something Sheree planted with her. I don't know, because Sheree's upset about the spoof videos, which I find to be hilarious that Candy was doing. And I just like, have a sense of humor. Like, it's something you said. Brad Grousky does it for the Beverly Hills Women. Like, have fun with it. I don't know. Yes. It was all so stupid and petty and just like trying, like reaching.
It was. At the end of the episode, I wanted to headbutt Courtney. And I will say that Sheree, in addition to having a busted, problematic man, is consistently bringing a problematic friend as well. She gave us a problematic friend last year.
She sure
as well.
Did. She so sure to, did.
It's almost as if she brings minions to do dirty work because she, as you pointed out, is really upset about something else. She and Candy got into it at the reunion. Now they got their, it's carried into this season. So I'm not the bad guy as Sheree. I'm going to bring in my new friend who's going to do my dirty work. And they're dumb enough to fall for it. You'll never get a peach this way. You can't come in at Candy as a newbie unless you're going to come in after Candy and you're Nene, it is not going to work for you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was seeing Candy, though, get that way is, I wish it was a build. I really do, because she's kind of even keeled. We're getting the same thing again with the work-life balance stuff at home and whatnot. And I want to see her like want to headbutt somebody consistently throughout the season. And her like, why are you jerking at me? And stuff like that. I was like, yes, Candy. And Todd watching in the background, ready to jump in whenever he needed to.
I love it.
This is everything I needed. And it was a good premiere, but I also will say like, it started off with the tease of the party and it ended with the party and some of the middle stuff. Like, I know it's the premiere, it's a lot of playing catch up and all that stuff. But a lot of the middle also kind of was boring to me.
It was. At least I will appreciate they didn't save the headbutt line in that moment for the next episode. I appreciated getting it in this episode, and maybe they too knew that the middle part was boring. You mentioned Kenny and Todd, and Kenny, you know, talking about her like family issues. I don't know why, but this one really got me. When she started crying and talking about how, you know, the pressures of being a woman who, you know, she didn't say it this way, but the breadwinner and just the pressure of, you know, she's trying to do to make every single person happy. And then when she's like, Todd makes her feel a certain way because she's this, almost like to bring her down in a way. I don't know why I was like, I thought that that was the more revealing than we've seen before. It's one thing where it's like, oh, I work too much. But for her to kind of say, Todd makes me feel bad. And he's, you know, I thought that's a really deep rooted issue. And the fact that she was crying about it and brought it to her friends shows that it's like she couldn't even keep it to herself. She had to tell somebody, which means behind closed doors, it's really, really a problem.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Because in past seasons, it's more so like being there for the kids and whatnot. And this was a different wrinkle in it where it seems like Todd is needing support from her or feels like she's not being supportive of him and his endeavors. And she's trying. She feels as if she's trying. And it doesn't seem to be enough for him. And yeah, I did like that moment where it was Kenya and Moneta, and they were all having a kiki about Sheree and her man. And then they were able to have like a serious conversation because that's how true girlfriends talk and how things really work. So that was sweet. And for them to give her advice, for Moneta to be there for her and stuff like that. That was a good moment. That is a different, I guess, view of their relationship that we haven't really seen much of. That conflict.
Yeah. I don't know why. I was like, huh, this is, we're seeing this in a different way. Now, what wasn't different is the Ralph and Drew dynamic.
Child.
We know where this is all leading. We know all roads lead to a separation, even though we haven't heard anything. It's not, if it's messy, we're not hearing about it being messy.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything either since they rushed to file for divorce at the same time.
At the same time, which is messy. And I'm sure we'll hear more as things, especially as they're filming the reunion and stuff. But we know that Drew and Sonia don't have the best track record. We know that Ross and Ralph really seem to like each other. And I'm going to go ahead and say, I think Ralph really likes Ross. I think it's more Ralph really wants to be Ross's friend. Not that they've told me that. That's just the feeling that I get. So it was a little shocking that Drew didn't come to the party because it was a big party. Everyone was there filming. And it's never stopped her before from coming to something, even though she's not on the best terms with Sonia. But Ralph says she's not there. First he says she's sick. Then he says she had a family emergency. Did I get that right? Didn't he give two excuses?
So he said that I understood that he said there was a family emergency going on. And then in his confessional, he said that her father was sick and that she is really close or it's been like an ongoing thing or something like that. And so I didn't hear anything about her not being well. I heard it being like a family emergency that just happened that she had to be there for. But Ralph had to be there for his boy, Ross.
That he just met.
Yes. Not his wife.
At most, you've known him a year.
His extended family through marriage, but for his boy, Ross. Priorities? I don't know. It's not, that's not something I'd be okay with.
No, I was just about to say, you are an engaged woman. I'm a married woman. I'll be damned if Brian, I'm dealing with emotional, a family emergency, father sick, whatever it may be. It's an emergency keyword. And you gonna go out in good time without me? I'm going to watch you, assuming she's still at home, watch you get dressed and go to a party that I can't go to because somebody is suffering.
Because I'm in distress.
Mm-mm. Ralph is diabolical. I told y'all about Ralphs before. You can't trust a Ralph.
I can't. I was up here last season saying how much I like his stepfather and all this stuff. Now I'm turning away. Can't do it. I'm on that train, Rachel. Can't trust a Ralph. Can't trust him.
Can't. And everybody's looking around the party like, Ralph, didn't you say emergency? And you just hear Keekan, not a care. You don't care. You know what's giving? It's giving Tom Sandoval finding out that Ariana's mother died, but can't catch a ride to get back to her. That's what this is.
That's what's given. I do think it'll be interesting to see how their relationship continues to spiral and even what the fallout was. I was surprised that we didn't even see Drew at all in the premiere, like not even a flashback that she shot something earlier or anything. Like she shot nothing with the women in the first couple weeks of production or days of production that they could have sprinkled in there as a full-time cast member to get completely axed from episode one is a little bit weird.
It's either there really is a family emergency and she can't film, or she and Ralph are that bad where, you know, she's just like, I don't want the camera. So I'm thinking there really is an emergency, which just still makes the situation so much worse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this man. I love that you said he's a menace. That's hilarious. Well, seems like episode two is going to pick up right in the thick of the drama, which is great. So we at least know we're going to start off on a high because we see Kenya and Manetta pull Sheree over to talk about things that they've heard, and then they bring Martell over. I hate the fact that Kenya doesn't have the DM anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask you what you thought about the DM.
It just adds fuel to the fire of like Sheree being like, y'all are just messing with me. Like, y'all are just trying to find something wrong. People can delete their DMs, though. And I believe Kenya. I believe he did come at her. But as I think I saw her say on Watch What Happens Live, it wasn't like he kept coming at her. She just said he was seeing if the door was open. But I also don't think that that's that big of a deal. You're an attractive woman. Assuming he signaled, he tried. Okay, it happens. But we do see that conversation happening or about to happen where they're calling Martell over to talk about it. And the previews show that conversation
escalates.
Escalates in a way that I feel like as viewers, we will enjoy.
Yes.
And then we still have the Candy Courtney situation as well. So, you know, does Candy headbutt her? Does she attempt to? I don't know, but we will be watching.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to the Kenya of it all and Martell and her calling him out for his filthy mess that he has back in Alabama going on. But yeah. And you know, I will say too, I'm also interested in the Sonia's, her family dynamic as well. The sister, the brother-in-law, the mother. That seems like a recipe for conflict.
You know, it's hard for me to watch people I know on television.
Oh,
and
I'm
when
sure.
I tell y'all I know them, like we go back to age 18. So, you know, Sherry put the first weave in my head. I'm talking like I was getting my hair washed in a sink at the house. And then she, you know, she got her shop. She's an entrepreneur. So I went to college with them. It's deep. So, I mean, they were living together though last season, but I guess it's coming to a head this season. So to see, you know, Sherry having that conversation, the uncomfortable conversation, is like tough for me. I'm like, oh no, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to see them have this out on the show. I hope that's it. I hope we don't see anything else. I love that family.
Yeah, it was an awkward conversation, but I'm sure it'll all come out roses, but I'm interested to see how that dynamic unfolds too.
For sure. All right, well, more to come. We gave you guys a jam-packed episode. You had news of the week. We created a new segment, CMZ. Stay tuned for that. We have Real Housewives of Atlanta, Real Housewives of New Jersey, and a whole new franchise with Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. So you guys, we're happy to be back. We had to come correct. We took 2 weeks off, but we gave you so much. We hope you guys enjoy this episode. Have a beautiful weekend, and we will see you again next Friday.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.